I was wrong.
We're
Senate
back.
Committee on Revenue will meet again. I stand corrected. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 449. And, committee, what we're doing is we're taking the contents of Senate Bill 31, the compromise that Representative Butler and I had worked out, the contents of that bill, and we're going to put it into, or the goal is to put it into, 449. So, Elizabeth, if you could replay your performance from last night.
Okay.
That would be terrific.
Okay, Chairman Deckard, I'll just go through this kind of a breakdown here of the Senate Bill 449, the -2 amendment, and it does delete the original bill of Senate Bill 449 and replaces it with basically eight major policy changes here. So first of all, it deals with the residential energy tax credit, and all of you have heard of this from another bill that we heard this session, 733 Senate bill. But basically, it's increasing that limit on the tax credit per solar electric system up to 2,000 watts or $6,000 limit. So it's basically allowing taxpayers to purchase larger systems and then not have to purchase each year. They can then take it over a period of years. Then it's also limiting the total amount of tax credit for the electric solar systems to not exceed 50% of the installed cost of the solar electric system, and that was something Senator Metzger had mentioned the last time we heard this bill and stuff, so there is that component in it. And then it also has a 10-year sunset on the personal income tax credit. That's the only change from the A35 amendment, Senator Deckard, that you saw last night. And then, just so everyone's clear, this is on a 10-year sunset on the electric solar system as well as the alternative energy tax credit. Then the next major issue is dealing with the intertie, and it exempts property tax for the value of the property of the city or public entity of any state if the entities do not own fee-titled interest in real property in Oregon. So this has been discussion of various negotiations, and this is Section 1 and 2 of the bill. It applies to tax years beginning on or after the date of execution of the written agreement and in tax year beginning on or after July 1st, 2005. The next component then in Sections 3 and 4 is the corporate sales throwback for just certain sales that are shipped from a public warehouse. This was something that was brought in on the House amendments to Senate Bill 31. And then basically this will have a minimal revenue impact because it really is narrow. Department of Revenue worked with the proponents of this to narrow the scope of the sales throwback exemption. And it's just for those taxpayers where the sole activity in Oregon is being the storage of goods in this public warehouse. Next, then, is dealing with the corporate apportionment formula, and this is beginning the 100% sales factor corporate apportionment formula July 1st, 2005, and this is sections 48, 49A, and 49 of the bill. Now, basically, under current law, as most of you remember, we will be going to 100% sales corporate apportionment formula, but that's not until 1/1/2008. This just begins it sooner. And then it also, just so everyone's clear, there was a provision from last session that allowed certain forest products companies to choose a double-weighted sales corporate apportionment formula. That hasn't changed under current law. Then the fifth issue there is then dealing with the R&D tax credit. It's increasing that annual maximum amount of the R&D tax credit from $750,000 to $2 million. So this was discussions that we had when we heard that bill, and that's sections 51, 52, and 53. And this tax change begins January 1st, 2006. And then we move to the earned income tax credit, and then this is an expansion of that. It's making it refundable. It's increasing the percentage. It begins at 5%. Refundable 1/1/2006, that's sections 44, 45, and 46. Then it becomes a 6% refundable earned income tax credit. That's January 1st, 2008, and that's section 57 and 58. Then it sunsets the refundability after 5 years of the earned income tax credit, and that begins then January 1, 2011, and that's sections 59, 60, and 61. And then we have moved to the new tax credit then for volunteer emergency medical technicians. And this was something that was discussed on the House side. It's in House Bill 2787A, which Senate Revenue has in their possession. But basically, it's a narrow new tax credit just to deal with the additional costs that emergency medical technicians have, and just for volunteers who work in rural areas. And there's a definition of rural there, meaning 25 miles or more from any city population with 30,000 or more. It begins January 1st, 2006, but it does place a five-year sunset on it of 1/1/2011. And this is only a $250 tax credit, and the revenue impact is not large from this, just because of the narrowness and the small amount of the tax credit. Then we now the other major changes are all the components then of House Bill 2542B, the reconnect federal federal law changes, and there are two exceptions, which were the two that you all had passed in 2542B. And this is sections, basically it begins in section 13 through 24, dealing with those date changes, changing our connection date to federal law from December 31st, 2002 to December 31st, 2004, and then reestablishing that rolling reconnect. So we will have that rolling reconnect beginning at any federal law changes beginning after December 31st, 2004 for issues that deal with changes in taxable income. And then you have two disconnects in the federal law, and that the first disconnect then is the qualified production activities income subtraction, the QPI. That's section 41 and 44 of the bill. And then you have a disconnect from the exclusion for federal taxable income, the federal subsidies for a prescription drug plan beginning January 1st, 2008, and that's sections 42 and 45 of the bill. And basically, as you passed out House Bill 2542, you disconnected right away from both of these provisions, but this is just begins to disconnect 3 years later for the federal subsidies for prescription drug plans beginning January 1st, 2008. So, but again, you've got a lot of other provisions. You've got things like the connection with the qualifying child. Those are all issues in 2542, as well as the dividends received deduction, cleaning up that language. That's all included in this. And so those are the major changes as far as the policy issues. Do you want me to do the revenue impact?
So just on the policy, so the only change that we made from the Senate Bill 31 is just extending the sunset on the solar energy tax credit by 5 years.
That's Chairman Decker, that's correct. That's right. You have a 10-year sunset now on that personal income tax credit.
Okay. Just on the policy, because committee, this is something that those on the conference committee know really well, but for some of you, it's the first time you've seen some of these provisions. Is there anyone you'd like to call up or questions that you have on any of the different components of this package? And then we'll get to the revenue part of it.
Can we just get clarification then on the solar tax? What are we doing? We're extending it for an additional 5 years?
Yeah, under current law, it doesn't have a sunset.
Okay.
Now, what happened with Senate Bill 31-835 is there was a five-year sunset put on it, and I just want to clarify, it's not only for the solar systems, solar electric systems, but it's also the alternative energy system. So you'll notice that in, you know, various sections of the bill here, you know, sections 10 and 12, but you'll see here alternative energy devices as well as the solar electric system. So both of those tax credits, which in the past have had a sunset, but it was removed in prior legislative sessions. So you're reestablishing a sunset, and this time you're not establishing it a 5 year, which is what the Senate Bill 31 amendment did. You're establishing a 10-year now sunset.
Other preguntas or questions? Okay, so let's get into the, if we could, the revenue impact.
So if we just look on the second page of your Senate Bill 42-2 revenue impact statement, there's a table there, and that just lists these major components here. So basically, with the 100% sales factor, this will only have a negative impact here beginning in 2005-07 biennium and the 07-09 slightly, just because we will be connecting and having 100% sales factor beginning 2008. So basically, it's a revenue loss of $4.5 million in 2005-07 biennium and $3.18 in the 2007-09 biennium. Now, expanding the research and development tax credit to $2 million, that will have a revenue impact beginning in 2006 of $2 million in the 2005-07 biennium and $6.5 million in the 2009-07-09 biennium and $9.3 million in the 2009-11 biennium. And then in expanding the residential energy tax credit, this basically will have a revenue impact of roughly $500,000 in the 2007-09 biennium. Again, it doesn't begin until 2007. And then and then a reduction of $800,000 in the 2009-11 biennium. And then the earned income tax credit, making it refundable and then increasing the percentage, but then sunsetting the refundability of the tax credit, will have a revenue loss then beginning in the 2005-07 biennium of $7 million, and then the 2007-09 biennium, a reduction of $15.9 million, and then the 2009-11 of $15.6 million. And then when we look at the personal income tax credit for the volunteer EMTs serving in rural areas, again, this is a smaller revenue impact just because you have only $250 tax credit. And that's a revenue loss of $0.38 million in 2005-07 biennium, $0.6 million in 2007-09 biennium, and $0.6 million in 2009-11 biennium. And then the connection, really, five of those different policy changes are all reductions in state general fund. But then as you look at the connection to the federal tax law with those two exceptions, that's where you get your positive revenues. And so basically you've got a $10.9 million in the 2005-07 biennium, $26 million in the 2007-09 biennium, and 2009-11, you've got $23 million in positive. And again, the reason why that is because you've got, you know, the repeal of the extraterritorial income exclusion. You've got also those other provisions that Congress was taking in order to kind of close some tax loopholes. We will be connecting to all those various provisions, and that's additional revenue that we will be gaining here in Oregon. So then the overall revenue impact from all of these changes then is a reduction of $3 million in 2005-07 biennium, a reduction of $0.65 million in 2007-09 biennium, and a reduction of $2.85 million in the 2009-11 biennium. And again, the corporate sales throwback provisions really is narrow, so that it will have a minimal minimal revenue impact in the coming bienniums. And then the local component there is a reduction in property tax revenue from exempting certain property that's related to the intertie issue. And so this has a non-recurring property tax loss of $4.57 million in the 2005-07 biennium and a reoccurring loss in the future of $1 million in the 2005-07 biennium and $1.03 million in the 2007-09 biennium.
Great. Questions for Lizbeth?
We are replacing Senate Bill 449.
Right.
If we simply amended Senate Bill 449, that just what effect would it have?
Senator Starr, that the original bill, it's been a long time since I ran the numbers on this, but this is a capital gains tax cut, is the original bill. And so as I recall, I mean, it's a phase-in of that, so it doesn't get fully implemented until about, I think it's 2009 or something. But it goes from, like, the 9% down to 5.5%, yeah, or I think maybe even 4.5%. 4.5%. And then, so that would be, quite a large revenue loss, and I don't remember exactly off the top of my head what that was. So it'd be much bigger than this revenue loss of only, you know, a few million.
But that would largely be in future.
Yeah, there would be some revenue loss, I think, this biennium. It begins 2006. Yeah, it goes to 8.5% in 2006.
So there'd be some loss, but
right.
Not.
Yeah, it would. No, there's no doubt the loss grows each biennium.
Other questions or thoughts, Senator Metzger?
Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 449.
Senator Metzger has moved the dash two amendments, which is basically the contents of Senate Bill 31, the agreement that we had worked out for that conference committee. Any questions about the dash twos? Ms. Gatto. Is it Gatto or Gatto? Gatto. Ms. Gatto, can you call the roll, please?
Senator George?
No.
Senator
Metzger?
No. Senator
Slovansky?
Yes.
Aye.
Senator
Spott? No.
Well, are y'all going to do a minority report? Well, I think we just...
Rick and I are planning that.
Okay, so we'll recess for 5 minutes.